reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to ATA, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, call ATA to see if you qualify. 800-805-1055. That's 800-805-1055. 800-805-1055.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's Monday, July the 8th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available, of course, 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. And the live line number is 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation, beginning with the Monday political face-off featuring today John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney and former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and Republican candidate for Arizona governor a few years ago. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, is former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and of course, they're at moesgallery.com. Had a nice visit with Mo over the weekend, and they've been very busy, which is very good news, almost like music to the ears that my clients are doing so well. That's always good news, Jeff and John, right?
Oh, it's always good to see people thrive.
Gentlemen, how was your weekend? Beginning with you, John, what'd you do?
Well, I had my son and his family in town for a good portion of it, and that was delightful, just wonderful. And then we had a great rest of the weekend after they left, and it was a nice, super long weekend.
How about you, Jeff?
Well, I've got a knee injury, so I wasn't able to do much activity. Can't ride my horse, so I just had to turn my horses loose and, you know, hang around them a little bit. But
is that a result of the horseback riding, the knee injury?
No, it's, I have a really big dog. He's about 110 pounds, and he ran into the house and got kind of crazy and banged into me, and I just fell.
Wow.
I wish I had some, you know, say I was playing basketball and went for a shot that I missed, but no, I don't have anything more more interesting than that.
Well, the women's soccer team, congratulations to them. That's two Women's World Cup soccer championships back-to-back. I was reading in the New York Times, not only is it a great honor, John and Jeff, to win, but there's some money involved. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I guess
250,000 minimum to each. Well, each player will get at least that.
Wow.
Then there's the endorsements that, you know, the stars will get, I'm sure. So I didn't realize there was a money component.
I didn't either. I heard that yesterday. I guess they get to split up $30 million. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it's very
good
news.
Great news.
And, you know, I was reflecting that Title IX is really, I think, what resulted in women's athletics, especially on the soccer front, how women have become very prominent on the world stage, at least in soccer, Jeff.
Yeah.
That goes back to early 1970s.
It does, and it's also responsible for the blossoming of women's basketball in the WNBA, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and women's softball. We all love to watch the Arizona Lady Cats play softball. I frankly enjoy softball more than I enjoy baseball. It's a faster game.
Yep. Big dust up over the census, and should citizenship be a question on the 2020 census, Jeff?
Well, if they had gone about this in a more intelligent way, they wouldn't have had any trouble getting that question on there at all. It was on there, some 20-odd, 30 years ago. Since then, we haven't used it because there's a feeling that it depresses Hispanic and non-white response to this to the census. But the fact is that they used a made-up reason, and they lied to the court, and they lied about what they did. Wilbur Ross, the then Commerce Secretary, said that it was the Justice Department that asked for it to be put on there so that they could monitor it for the Voting Rights Act. Well, you know, a disclosure and discovery in the civil cases showed that that was a put-up lie and that it was Wilbur Ross who came up with the idea and asked the Justice Department to use that pretext. And that's what caused him to lose in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's found that that was just a pretextual reason. And so now they're trying to think up another pretextual reason, which the court is not going to buy. I mean, this was pretty ham-handed, I think. And not only that, but they were in court on just on Friday, the Justice Department lawyer. And I think the quote of the day was Joshua Gordon, the lawyer, said, "Well, the tweet this morning is the first I've heard of the president's position on this issue, just like the plaintiffs and Your Honor. I'm doing my absolute best to figure out what's going on." I mean, that's, you know, if I had a client that tweeted something out that undercut my position in court, I think I'd fire that client. Unfortunately, he can't fire Trump. So, you know, these lawyers are put in a horrible position. I mean, they have to deal with the court with all candor and honesty, and they can't go in there and make dishonest arguments either legally or factually. And the rumor today is they replaced that legal team with another legal team, and I don't know what these lawyers are going to do. They can't lie to the court. You can lose your bar license for lying to the court, and you can be disciplined by the court itself, held in contempt. And so, you know, I don't know where they're going to go with it, but I don't think they're going to get the question on for this year.
John, do you think they'll get it on?
Well, the Supreme Court invited them back. Jeff is right about his analysis of the first hearing, but the court invited them back to come up with other reasons. There are plenty of other reasons to get that item on the census. Principally, in my mind, it's a matter of how you count people for purposes of congressional votes or congressional distribution of congressmen in states, and also a question of how you distribute federal monies based upon populations. And as Jeff has indicated, we've done it before. I don't know, frankly, why we need a justification at all. I don't agree with the Supreme Court that you needed a justification. I think you can put anything on the census that you want to put on to find out about people. I don't know why in the world we wouldn't want to know who is a citizen and who isn't. The concept that the Democrats think speculatively that it might depress people reporting on the census, that's pure speculation. We don't know how true that is. We've done it before. I would like to, you know, California, just as one example, so your listeners understand, could have as many as 5 million non-citizen people. That would, since it's about 750 seats or people per congressional seat, if those people weren't counted as Californians, then you'd be in a position where California would lose something like 10 or 12 seats.
Wow.
And that means that other states would pick up those seats. So states that don't have that large population of illegals would gain seats and be better represented, more fairly represented.
But that's not what the Constitution says, John. The Constitution says that they count persons, people. They don't count citizens. That's not what the Constitution says.
Well, that,
it's abundantly clear in both the 14th Amendment as well that what you're counting are people, not citizens. And not only that, but you made the exact argument that the court is going to find is illegal. You cannot have a purpose for to put that on there. And we now know that because a Republican Party strategist who died recently, his daughter found emails and other documents that showed that he was advising the Republican Party that putting this question on there would depress Latino and non-white responses to the census, and it would do exactly what you said. It would increase Republican representation in Congress by manipulating the redistricting process.
Well,
you made a real good argument for just why this is absolutely absolutely illegal and wrong, and why the Supreme Court didn't buy this pretext.
What you're really saying, Jeff, is that Democratic votes are coming from illegals, and the Republican Party is being deprived of votes because illegals are being counted in favor of the Democrats.
No, they're not voting. They're not voting. Well, they're people, and people count. Well, and you don't have to be. And many of these are legal residents.
That issue has never been decided. Whether the whether congressional districts are determined by people or citizens. And I think
actually it has been decided it's people. And well, now there are legal arguments on the other side that
there
should be citizens. Yeah. But right now the law is that it's people that are counted, and that's what we count in districts. And
do either of you know when we started asking people about the citizenship?
We asked it regularly until about 1950.
Was this something that we just started doing after World War II? Or
we started after, in the 1960 census, I believe, was the first time we didn't ask.
And we haven't asked any since the 1960 census.
And we asked regularly before that. I don't know why you even need to justify it. I think it's a fair question. I think the Democrats are basically saying, hey, we're going to be deprived of congressional seats and take those away from Republicans because we have all these illegals in our states.
Some are illegal, but some are not illegal. If you hold a green card, you should be counted because you're a legal resident of America.
That's fine,
and these people might not return these surveys.
We know there's somewhere between 11 and 20 million people out there that are not American citizens who shouldn't be counted. And Democrats states like California and New York, who take these people in willy-nilly in our sanctuary states, shouldn't get more congressional seats and take those away from other states, take those congressional seats away from other states who don't have as many illegals.
Okay, guys, put it on pause for a minute. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. That's something all of us in the room can agree on. Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I know, Jeff, you've enjoyed the breakfast up there.
I've been there a few times. It's delicious.
Great job at Mona's. They're open right now for lunch, and I rediscovered the carrot cake over the weekend. Oh, so good. Carrot cake and not a real thick icing, just kind of that white butter icing, just mild on top, and wow, very delicious. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, and they're open each morning at 6:30 for breakfast, so give it a try. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. There's a link at Buckmaster Show, not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors here on the program. We'll be right back with Jeff Rogers and John Munger on the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe's Gallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our Monday Political Face-Off featuring John Munger, seated to my right, and Jeff Rogers, seated to my left. John Munger, the president, got a really nice bump in the polls. I'm telling you, he's going to be very difficult to beat if this economy holds up.
He's going to be difficult to beat. His average polls have risen 5 points in the last 2 months since April. He is now polling, and most of the polls your listeners need to know, most of the polls they see out there are registered voters. A lot of those registered voters don't vote. The way to poll is to poll likely voters. And the polls of the likely voters show that Trump is now polling 50%. He is... doing very, very, very well. And incidentally, Barack Obama never did that well amongst likely voters. He's doing better than Barack Obama did. Now, if we get into a war or we have a recession or any number of things that could happen that we can't foresee one way or the other, things could change overnight. But it's looking very, very good. And I think that the Democrats, we were talking about this off the air, the Democrats are making these proposals. So their proposal is that we want free college education for everybody. That means that, and we're going to pay off student debt, that means that we're going to go to 2/3 of the public who never went to college, and we're going to say to them, we want you to pay off the student debt of the 1/3 that went to college.
How's that going to play?
Well,
Jeff, how's that going to play?
First, this is the first president in 79 years to never have an approval rating of over 50%. That is unbelievably historic. As far as I'm concerned, he's dead in the water right now. Now, can the Democrat, this is ours to lose. Can we lose it? Yeah, we can. And John just said one of the reasons. I mean, when you tell somebody in the Midwest who didn't go to college, I'm coming here to take your private insurance that your union bargained for and that you like and you're happy with, even though it maybe costs more now than it did 5 years ago, and then we're going to force you into a government plan, that's bull. I mean, those kinds of ideas that are coming from the far left, most left Democrats are going to... If somebody is nominated with those kinds of beliefs, and as John has said, we can lose this election and lose it badly, like 40 states, you know, lose everything. Like it could be the kind of McGovern slash and burn that we saw back then. And health care for people who are undocumented. So a few of the people raised their hand that they would do that as well. Well, right now, if you're undocumented and you need an emergency care, federal law requires a hospital to treat you in an emergency. But to give regular care to undocumented people and then burden taxpayers with that is something that I think the vast majority of voters are going to find unacceptable. And removing the misdemeanor criminal charge for illegal entry into America. That's probably another non-starter for a lot of Americans. I mean, the way we prosecute these is that usually what happens is we use civil statutes and we civilly remove them, and they don't charge them criminally because it's just a misdemeanor anyway. But then if you've already been removed once and you recross the border, that's a felony, and those are getting punished pretty severely in federal court, particularly here in Tucson. So I don't think that's something that most voters are going to accept. And the Democratic Party is going to have a real come to Jesus talk about who you represent. Do we represent the moderates in the Democratic Party, or are the most leftist parts of the party going to completely take it over and cause us to lose an election?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. That's what the issue is. The issue is who the Democrats nominate, and is there anybody out there that can beat Trump absent a war or a recession or some other huge event, earth-shattering event. Right now, I don't see it. I think that it's Trump's election. If it were right now, he'd win hands down. The Democrats are going to have to change something. I don't see anybody out there in the Democratic Party that's going to change it. And Joe Biden isn't going to be able to beat Trump, in my opinion. And so they've got
almost every poll shows him at least 10 points ahead of him.
Amongst likely voters. Amongst likely voters,
he's ahead of him.
He's still ahead, but not anywhere near as much.
But is it Biden or no one when it comes to someone who is somewhat moderate?
Well, I think Senator Harris hasn't embraced many of these lefty ideas as well, and there are many of the others who haven't, like Jay Inslee and Hickenlooper and Senator Bennett from Colorado.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they're not registering much. I mean, they're not even hitting above 1%. And so, unless they start to get some traction, then the only moderates that we've got in this race that could probably beat Trump are probably Biden and Kamala Harris. Harris hasn't adopted many of these ideas as well. So those are probably the best shots to beat Trump at this point in time, and I still think Biden's the best.
Is this a carryover from the Bernie a few years ago, this move to the left?
Well, I think partially, and Jeff being an insider of the Democratic Party would know more than I am, but let me give you my Republican point of view. I think that the problem is that so many of the Democrats come from really isolated backgrounds, and now they're in Washington. So you're dealing with the loss of touch of people in Washington who are talking about things the American public doesn't care about, number one, and taking positions on issues the American public does care about, taking the Washington position. You're talking about Californians running who have no clue what the rest of the country thinks. The same with New Yorkers. They are so out of touch, they don't have a clue what the rest of the country is talking about. So, and what the rest of the country is willing to do. So I think it's a combination of being from very liberal states, safe seats, and being in Washington and having the Washington disconnect. But Jeff can tell you better than I can what the Democratic Party, what its problems are causing this.
I think what's happening to the Democratic Party is exactly what happened to the Republican Party starting in 2009 with the sort of Tea Party summer of 2009. The Republican Party has been taken over by the most extreme elements of the Republican Party, and what is happening to the Democratic Party is very similar right now. It started probably with Bernie, and many of these ideas are being embraced by other Democrats, and part of it is just the nature of partisan politics is that mm-hmm. the most active elements of the workers, sort of worker bees that get out there and do all of the work to get people elected, those people tend to not reflect the mainstream of the Democratic Party, the same as the mainstream of the Republican Party is not reflected within the activist elements of it.
Well, I think
that's just part of nature, but somehow it's gotten more extreme in the past 15 years.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit. Jeff labels the Tea Party, and I'm a Tea Partier, as extremists. I'm hardly extreme, and my candidate won in the past election in in 2016. I don't think that's extreme in the context of the American public. The American public, 63 million people voted for him, for Donald Trump. I don't think that's can by any means can be called an extremist voter or an extremist candidate. There were when you have 63 million people voting for you, that's not extreme by American standards. By any, you can't redefine what's extreme. Extreme is what's so far out the mainstream that you can't get votes. And that's what the Democrats have running right now is people that won't be able to get the votes and won't be able to beat Trump, at least as it stands today. But to label people who voted for Trump as extremists when there's 63 million of them is absurd.
Well, there's 66 million who voted the other way.
Well, that's fine, but that doesn't mean that the 63 million are extremists.
Okay. Jeff Rogers, thank you, Jeff, for coming
in.
Appreciate it very much. John Munger, thank you.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off presented by, and we thank Mo and Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. His family does such a great job. They've been running it since 1985, and they can take care of all of your framing needs. They've got some beautiful art at the gallery as well. And, of course, if you need a particular item taken care of, put on the walls the way it should be, Mo would be happy to make a house call. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Midway point on the Monday Political Face-Off. We move on now on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive approximately from the Tucson area. And because of their elevation being anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet, it's going to be cooler over there. They've got their big event coming up July 15th. That's next week, the Silver City Clay Festival, an annual celebration of all things clay in the Southwest. The festival features hands-on workshops, exhibits, tours, a gallery night, a clay fest market, all sorts of activities for all ages. So check it out, Silver City Clay Festival, beginning July 15th. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete information on where to stay and so many great opportunities to recreate. Let's go now on the live line to State Representative Andres Cano, Democrat representing District 3, who has just completed his first freshman year in the legislature. He's been a very busy lawmaker. He was back in Boston, I believe, at a leadership seminar at Harvard for a couple of weeks, and then he was part of a fact-finding group of state lawmakers who visited a migrant detention center over in the Yuma area. Busy guy there, Andres. How are you?
Well, thank you, Bill. I am honored to be back home here in Arizona. I was really, really glad to hear you mention New Mexico, because it's always a good retreat to go support our neighbor. And so I'm just happy to be here. And yeah, it's been an incredibly busy time. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you.
What was your impression of what you saw, you and some of the fellow state lawmakers over in Yuma a week or so ago?
Well, it was really a response to the awful photo that we saw nationwide and internationally of a daughter and her father drowning in the Rio Grande River. And what we said as lawmakers, five of us, is we don't need a tour. We don't need any kind of announcement that we're going to go visit. We just want to see the port of entry and be able to understand from a human condition perspective the crisis that we're facing on the southern border. And we went. Turns out, as we were driving that morning, that there was going to be a media tour for a new $15 million outdoor tent that was constructed to basically prepare Border Patrol for the influx that they're seeing, and about 500 families in this tent. So, you know, we lawmakers who were there, we said, well, we might as well make this visit official. And so we toured this this tent, Bill, and it was completely new, had been constructed in less than 3 weeks. Outdoors, but properly ventilated. Wasn't anybody in there at that point. And so, you know, I want to go back next week and be able to understand what the tent conditions are like after 500 people moved into it. What we wanted is to make sure that the conditions of the migrant families were protected, that families were safe, and that while these migrants are in our custody, that we have a understanding that they are humans and that they need our protections as much as possible.
Might that be a possibility, a tent like that for the Tucson area? I know that it was just announced today, Andres Cano, that Pima County has worked out a situation with Catholic Relief Services where part of the Juvenile Correction Center will be used to house migrants temporarily. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I haven't heard much about the Pima County proposal. I've only heard higher level discussions, so I'm glad they're moving along. Ultimately, that's an indoor facility. I think for me, that's my priority. I mean, out in Yuma, we saw this tent that I said, you know, was properly ventilated, but, you know, there are about a line of eight porta potties in this year. What happens when 500 folks are using these porta potties and, you know, natural functions of our body, methane gas is starting to be a part of all of this. And I'm sure that there are solutions everywhere, but ultimately what we're talking about is folks that are in our custody and they deserve the most basic human rights, which is access to good water, opportunity to be next to their family, and the right conditions of taking care of themselves and their bodies, ultimately. I don't think that's too much to ask for.
This current, or this just concluded session, I see that the governor did veto increasing the out-county lawmakers, what their per diem is. Is that correct? Did that affect you?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, being a 27-year-old lawmaker, leaving a good job with Pima County to be able to come up here to Phoenix and represent my district was a decision that I made, and it's an expensive decision for sure. Lawmakers in Arizona here at the Capitol only make about $24,000 a year, and there are rural lawmakers who are having to pay for both their costs at home and back here in Phoenix when they're working, so two house payments essentially. And look, we're facing an affordable housing crisis. The reality is I did not vote for this increase, and I did not vote for it because I felt like I knew as a lawmaker what I was getting into, and I can't vote to give myself a pay increase when I have Arizonans in my district who are also struggling to pay their bills and pay their rent or their mortgage. And so that's why I was one of the few lawmakers who voted no. There were fewer than 10 of us. And I support the governor's veto of it, but ultimately I'm looking forward to us talking to voters back home and letting them know the sacrifices that we make. But like I said, I knew what I was entering when I entered public service, and it wasn't to make money for sure.
What's the unfinished business as far as you're concerned that was not accomplished in 2019 Arizona legislative session?
There are two things that I think we really have to focus on. First, community colleges and our universities. I spoke about this last time during our time together, Bill. Our state still has yet to fully restore funding to Pima and Maricopa community colleges. That's to the tune of about $16 million that we still need to restore. Now, we did have some one-time expenditures in this last budget, specifically for Pima and its aviation program. But like I've been saying, there are a lot more students throughout Southern Arizona that are looking to the other STEM fields to be able to have good paying jobs. And our universities are essentially relying on tuition and fees at this point because the legislature has not invested in them since 2008. So that's the immediate thing I care deeply about, access to education, especially because I'm a first-generation college graduate who had good financial aid to make it to that graduation line. And then the second one is housing, Bill. I'm seeing more and more people in big metropolitan areas moving further, further, and further away from the city core and from services that are beneficial to them and their families because they're debating $1,200 rent versus one that's nearing, you know, $2,500. It's expensive right now to be an Arizonan, a homeowner, a renter, and I think this budget falls short of fully investing in that that crisis that is happening right before our eyes.
We're speaking with State Representative Andres Cano, Democrat from District Number 3. I believe he's the second youngest lawmaker in Phoenix. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Is there some kind of a young coalition up there? You're the next, you're part of the next generation. I'm curious, like under 35, how many members would you say there are?
My last count was 9, and we're far and few, and I think ultimately I am the youngest LGBT lawmaker, and that's statewide. And I think what you mentioned about is a good question, which is, how do we continue to represent our constituents and know that they're diverse in age and even in political preferences and ultimately offer solutions? What you heard before me being a part of this radio show just now, Bill, was a lot of rhetoric that ultimately is extremely divisive. And I think that the legislature has been no different. I think there are some of these youngins like me who are wanting to be a shock to the system and be able to hold folks accountable, but we've got to be willing to have a common understanding that no idea is better than another, and ultimately I just imagine a world that we can get to if we weren't to talk in sound bites. That's what I'm really optimistic for in the legislature ahead, but you know, 31 Republicans, 29 Democrats. If the partisan gridlock that we saw over these last 6 months is anything to be, predicted for this next session is that that's going to continue, and I just think that's sad because Arizonans are the ones who are going to hurt from it.
We only have a couple of minutes with you, Andres, and I'm just curious, what was the take-home message from your several weeks in Boston at Harvard? What stuck with you? What did you bring back after that leadership session? Was there some kind of a takeaway?
Well, it's so funny. I think that for this product of a single mom, first-generation college grad to be in these classrooms that ultimately lots of our leaders have been a part of. They were there. It's a full round circle moment, Bill. But ultimately, I know that I have constituents in my district who need me to get past that. I'm looking forward to year two of eight of my service in the legislature with the voters permitting me to have those full 8 years in the legislature. And I think, for me, this was a learning opportunity over the last 6 months and certainly those 3 weeks in Boston. And I'm truly, truly convinced that if we were to unpeel our layers a little bit and look for opportunities for us to work together on sound issues, that we can do things. But this hyper-partisan world is not working for good governance right now. And so, what I'm looking forward to is preparing the Democrats for the majority in the Arizona legislature for 2020, because we are so close to finally writing a new chapter for our state. And I know that we're going to be a big part of making that happen.
Andres Cano, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, and appreciate the time.
Thanks, Bill.
State Representative Andres Cano with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a destination in itself, not just for all the plants for your garden, but the great merchandise from Zocalo, all that, much of it hand-carved merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So the next time you're at Green Things purchasing some great plants, take a look at the five shops at Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com for more. We'll be right back with Dr. Ray Woosley and our monthly Your Meds segment.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It's time for the monthly segment on Buckmaster that we call Your Meds. It's about taking control of your medication. The Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean, founder, and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley is also the co-director of the Clinical Data Analysis and Decision Support Team at the UA College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Woosley's latest creation, very popular, it's Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources on information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Let's join Dr. Woosley now on the live line. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing well.
We hope to have you in studio, but I hope your car is not in that bad a shape.
Well, it's not the car, it's the air conditioner. More important, as important as the car right now.
You're not kidding. Drive around town without no AC, no thank you.
I would be speechless if I'd driven down there anyway.
There you go. A new study is suggesting, it's very concerning, let's put it that way, that certain medications could increase your risk of dementia.
That's true, yes. And this is a very disturbing study. It's consistent with a lot of that we know about this group of medicines. There's a chemical in our body called acetylcholine, which is really important in many ways, especially in the brain. And a lot of the medicines that we take commonly interfere with this chemical, and they're called anticholinergic drugs. And there's drugs from multiple categories, antihistamines such as Benadryl, drugs for bladder spasms such as darphenicin, which is also Enablix, seasick drugs like scopolamine, asthma drugs, antidepressants such as Paxil, have anticholinergic effects. And this study looked at the chronic use of these medicines and found that extended use was associated with increased chance of dementia. And we've known for years that if you take large doses of these or multiple drugs with this effect at the same time, especially in the elderly, confusion and temporary dementia can occur. So the fact that it's associated with increased dementia with chronic use is consistent with that effect, and it's quite alarming. Now, as always, any study like this which finds an association, you've got to wait for confirmation, and you've got to ask your doctor whether it really means anything to you, because these are important medicines, and you can't just stop them. And because of this kind of a report, it's a matter of being aware that this could happen.
Did I hear you say Benadryl?
Yes. Now, again, this is drugs taken for years, not just an occasional Benadryl. Paxil, a very important drug for depression. I mean, these drugs are life-saving in some people. So the message is only take medicines that you know are essential. Take them for only the amount of time you need to take them. Ask your doctor, is it time that I can take a medicine holiday and see if I really still need this medicine?
What did some of these studies specifically say about the risk, Dr. Woosley? What percentage did they talk about?
Yeah, in 2015, actually, a study of people over age 65 found that if they took these medicines for 3 or more years, they had a 54% greater risk of developing dementia than people who took the medicines for 3 months or less. So it's the chronic use and the use of multiple drugs that I think is the main concern.
And some of these studies, I know there was a 2014 research review that said that there were prevalence of confusion and other symptoms of mental decline increasing with the amount that these medicines are taken. In other words, the longer you take the medicines, the more risk you're at.
Exactly. And there were over 30 studies at that time that were consistently finding this. So I think this is a real potential problem. It's one we need to be aware of, but we don't want to overreact and cause harm when people really are need these medicines, because they are effective and they're generally safe. It's just when you deal with chronic use of these medicines, we often don't have the data when they go on the market for their chronic safety, their long-term safety. And we need to be alert, and these kind of studies are essential, but they need to be put in context for each individual person, and only that person and their physician can really make these decisions on a one-to-one basis.
We're speaking with Dr. Ray Woosley. He is the host of our Your Meds segment. He also is the creator of Credible Meds. You know, this is a time that, not that there's not always a good time to look at Credible Meds, but this might be an especially good one to put in there the medicines you're taking as you consult with your doctor. Right, Dr. Woosley?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things we have on our website, which is very useful, is a just a list of questions that you should take when you go to your doctor, and another list that you should take when you talk to your pharmacist. Very simple questions, but important ones to ask. You know, what is this medicine doing? What should I expect to feel from it? How is it working? And when should I take it? How long should I take it? What unwanted side effects are there to watch for? And I know it's a complex question, but with this report out, I think every patient should look at their drug their medicines list and say to their doctor, do these medicines have anticholinergic side effects or just any side effect that I should be aware of? I should point out most doctors probably won't be aware of this recent study. There's just so much in the medical literature for them to keep up with. So you have to call it to their attention and ask if it's a problem with their medicines that they're currently taking. And entering the medicines that you're taking on our web list will allow you to create a medicine list that you can email to your doctor or your pharmacist and ask them to check for interactions. We can tell you if those medicines, our system will tell you if they have risk for heart problems. But the interactions, which we are developing, it will rely you to check one of the multiple websites that are on the internet for all the other interactions that you should be concerned, could be concerned about.
And again, these anticholinergens, what is it about them that specifically do you think is causing the problem in the brain that would lead possibly to dementia? What about this? What is it about this particular class of drugs?
Well, the drugs that are listed have effects on certain parts of the body. For example, an antihistamine blocks the effect of histamine in your body, but it also has effects on other, we call them receptors, other targets in the body. Those are, we call off-target. These are effects we don't want. And in this case, these drugs are interfering with acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is a very basic chemical that our body uses to transmit messages, and it communicates from one cell to the other by sending acetylcholine. Well, these drugs block that acetylcholine message in certain parts of the brain, and that, we believe, is the mechanism for causing dementia. It should be a temporary effect, and when the medicine's gone, the effect should be gone. But these data imply that blocking the effects of acetylcholine chronically, you're actually producing changes in the brain that show up as dementia.
Mm. All right, and again, consult with your doctor. Keep a list not only of your medicines, but any vitamins and supplements. Many times, for whatever reason, people are kind of shy about talking about with their doctor if they're taking any vitamins or supplements, and they say, no, I'm not taking any, and they may be taking as many as 5 to 10 a day, correct, Dr. Woosley?
Most people are, frankly. About 20% of people are taking vitamins and dietary supplements, and most of those haven't been tested for safety and efficacy. I know, you know, I've often talked about how these dietary supplements like kombucha and other things don't work. Just to provide balance, I would say that a recent study found that peppermint oil is actually effective for people with irritable bowel syndrome. So I think it's important for every medicine you're taking to go on the internet, and by medicines I mean things like dietary supplements and herbals. Check the data, and if necessary, if it's not clear to you, ask your doctor. Go to our website and see what we've posted about these medications and these dietary supplements. We just posted an announcement about some new data with energy drinks.
Okay.
That I think you need to know about. We all need to know about.
All right, Dr. Woosley, crediblemeds.org. Appreciate it very much, and we'll see you in a month or so. Thank you, Dr. Woosley.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Dr. Ray Woosley doing our Your Meds segment. It's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.